Now, with all this talk of God foreknowing us from the annals of eternity and predetermining our destiny, there are some Christians who get terrified on another front. They are scared to death of making a decision. They are constantly worried about finding out God's will and being afraid that they won't know God's will, that they get stuck in their Christian socks, frozen to the ground of spiritual fatalism. Is it the fact that if God predestines our future, that we have no will, no choice, no action? Or is it that he works in all of this, bringing out his will? Let's look at that for a bit. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, a broadcast on Good News, the good news of the gospel that our God has called us. We did not call upon him, he called upon us. Yes, our calling upon him was a response to his love and his action towards us. And that gives us courage to know that our salvation does not depend upon the strength of our faith, but upon the loyalty of his call. Ah, what a wonderful truth that is, my friends. And as we have this kind of faith, we move forward. We break into our struggles. We will not let ourselves be denied. We move forward in faith, knowing that our God has removed the barriers and will remove any more that seem to be in our way. And as we do that, we realize that we can break through troubles that have held us back, addictions or habits or crises of life and disappointments. We can see through them and we can break through to new ground. So what about this question then? What about this issue of, are there any choices to be made? Can we make plans? Can we have goals and dreams? Can we present desires before God? Well, indeed we can. Of course we can. God is not predestining robots. He is predestining and determining the future of those who will be conformed to the image of his Son. He is making people in his image. People in his image are not robots. People in his image are living, creating, volitional beings who have come to the conclusion that God's will is good and God's way is best. Remember Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. But how do the desires of our heart work with the sovereign will of God and the fact that he is predetermining our future? Why, my friends, we have to go back, don't we, just a few verses to what Paul has been saying earlier. Listen, remember this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who have faith in him and therefore love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you see then that the sovereignty of God and his foreknowing us and his predestining us, determining our future, is all brought about through our volition too, through our desires, through our prayers, that he then turns in the direction of our eternal salvation, where he also breaks into our prayers and moves them sometimes in another direction? As I say, God is not predestining robots. He's predestining, predetermining the future of men and women who trust him, and who are going to be conformed more and more to his image as time goes along. Over the years, I've met many stunted Christians who simply cannot make decisions. Now, I have a struggle making decisions myself, but not for the same reason that I'm talking about right now. They are afraid to make decisions for fear that they will be going counter to God's will, or for fear that they are operating independently of God. Look, my friends, it is perfectly okay to sit down and weigh things and to say, Lord, guide my mind. Show me the best way to go here. And then perhaps to write down all your options for one, all the options for one course of action, and then all the options for another course of action. Perhaps taking a week or 2 weeks to do this, asking God to guide you and putting all the small reasons for this position and the large reasons, and then the small and large reasons for the other position. And then saying, Lord, well, it seems to me that I'm opting for that option B seems to be better than option A, Lord, and if I find peace of mind in the next few days, well, I'm going to go with option B. And then you pause and you let the day go by or two, and you feel pretty peaceful about option B, and so you go with that and you never look back. Now, what is that? That is you operating with the mind of faith that God has given you. He's not going to zap Christians to create his providential will. He's not going to zap Christians' minds in order to predestine them in a certain way. We're not going to be modern-day Christian zombies, for goodness sake. This is not how God works. And so we grow in our faith, knowing that there's no condemnation. It's okay if we make a mistake, because God's sovereignty is so incredibly wonderful that he can operate through our mistakes, even through our failures, even through our sins, to bring about his will as we keep trusting him. Isn't that amazing, my friends? What else does he have to work with, after all? I mean, you just look, why not go back to the book of Genesis and examine all over again how God called Israel? You will be so refreshed or surprised or shocked even at how God brought his will about through such family dysfunction. I mean, just look at all those families there and how they were jealous of one another and how murder was in the hearts of, you know, Jacob for Esau, or Esau for Jacob, I should say, how Abraham messed up by getting Hagar into the act. It's incredible. There is so much chaos in the book of Genesis, and yet there is so much divine providence and sovereign action moving to predetermine the future of this wonderful people whom he had called. That's how it is with us, my friends. You don't have to be afraid of the future. If you know God has worked his will through all of your mistakes, worked his will to bring you to him through all of your mistakes of the past, don't you think he can work his will to continue bringing you closer to him through all of your mistakes of the future too? Of course. So we are free to make decisions. We are free to humble ourselves, of course. By the way, the approach that I suggested to you a short while ago about the various options is an approach put out by George Muller in the 19th century, and he put out a little pamphlet about that. It's not you a case of you waiting for a zapping to take place. You remember that time I told you of some time ago of a couple in New York who were assisting me in ministry in Times Square in 1970-odd, and they were wondering whether to stay in New York, a couple, a married couple, or whether to go back to San Francisco. They were about 25, I think, somewhere around that age. And they said, we're waiting on the Lord to know his will, whether to go to stay here and work with you or to go back to San Francisco. Well, they looked so starry-eyed about this, and they seemed to be totally indecisive, unable to make a decision about it. And they were waiting for weeks and still wondering and not having any sign from God. And so I suggested to them that they write down all the options for staying in New York, all the pros and cons, and then all the options and the pros and cons for going to San Francisco, and submitting it to the Lord and asking him to guide their minds. Well, on major points as well as minor points. I mean, for instance, the weather in New York is not so good as the weather in San Francisco. If you like to be warm, that's a minor point, but it can be put down just as well as a major issue, that maybe the Lord is calling them to a big ministry in San Francisco, something like that. Well, they liked this idea, and they wrote all of their options for the pros and cons for option A and for option B. And after a week or so, they said, we've made up our minds. And they went to San Francisco. Do you see? They stopped the stupidity of being zombies. And they said, the Lord has given us a mind, and he has made us in his image, and we are trusting in Christ and humbling our way before him. And therefore, as we think through the pros and cons, we're confident that he will guide us. So then, the mystery, the wonderful mystery of God's predestination, that is, of his predetermining our future, is that he can work through, in an incredibly symbiotic way, all of the labyrinthine decisions that we make from one day to the next. Manifold are his ways, my friend. That's what is so beautiful about our God. And he certainly will not stamp out the image of God that he has started to bring in, put in us through faith in Jesus Christ, and simply zap us to get his own will. He will rather work through our minds and hearts through the groanings of his Spirit. I hope you're planning to join us, friends, on the 25th of January, Saturday, for the next seminar, the quarterly seminar, and a seminar with a difference. I have been telling you each day, starting at 10 and finishing at 2, 10 to 2, 4 hours with no lunch break. Bring your own lunch, and coffee and tea, or coffee and juice are provided. And 10 to 2 instead of 9 o'clock to 3:30. In other words, a 4-hour seminar instead of a 6.5-hour seminar. Appealing to the attention span of younger people, maybe. Hopefully we'll get some young people. Hopefully we'll get some strangers, some people who are not acquainted with this broadcast, how it happens, or Faith Quest Perspectives, and maybe even Jesus himself. Listen, my friends, I'm hoping that you will let your friends know, let your neighbors know, your relatives, loved ones, and maybe you will join me one more chance to get out on the streets together. Give me a call if you would like to join me at 303-738-8694, 303-738-8694. We'll spend an hour, say, on a weekend this coming weekend, and, you know, an hour, just an hour, maybe at a mall or somewhere. This is what the seminar flyer says. There's an old man here who could help you young guys and girls along with a thing or two. If you're using and can't stop, if you're into a habit that's harming you, your friends, your future, or if you've become disappointed in yourself and fear God might have given up on you, let this old man tell you a thing or two about Jesus and addiction. This isn't about Jesus saves, it's about how Jesus helps. You don't have to be religious. Come to understand yourself, learn what addiction really is, and how God can help you when you're addicted or feeling helpless. Got to the place where you might be ready for this? Then spend a morning with me and expect the unexpected. Oh, and that old man, that'd be me, Colin Cook, and then I say a few things there. Now, this is at La Quinta Inn, my friend, Saturday the 25th of January. If you'd like a few flyers to give to your friends or neighbors or relatives or loved ones, please call me at 303-738-8694. I'll send them out straight away for you. If you'd like to join me this weekend for an hour somewhere handing out these brochures, give me a call and we'll get together and do that. All right, so I look forward to seeing you then on Saturday the 25th. And please, it's not only for the strangers, it's for you yourself, regular listeners to this broadcast. You are the backbone. You help this broadcast to keep going by your attendance and donations at the seminar, plus the blessing I hope that you will get. And you can sort of welcome the younger ones or the new ones and make them feel comfortable. I'll look forward to seeing you then, friends, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.